Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics. Every single week, we will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you can turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. You know, one of the greatest promises that we born-again believers have is that if we ask God for wisdom, He will always give it to us, if we don't doubt. And the reason He doesn't want us to doubt, if we go to Him, we're believing He's going to give it to us, and He gives it to us, then who are we to say, oh, that can't be right? You know, we need to really understand Him and get to know His voice and just really believe what He tells us. So my heel was hurting me, my heel. So the name of this is going to be, don't grab somebody's heel. And so I was looking through all the scriptures, like I've been telling everybody, like, okay, Lord, is this heel thing hurting? Does it mean something? And so I looked, and it doesn't mean it always does, but it's amazing how the Word of God is truth, right? So if you turn to any scripture, you're going to get revelation, actually. If you open the Bible, Holy Spirit is right there to reveal things to you. So I look up all the things on heel, and the one thing that stuck out on all of them was about the brother grabbing the heel. So what story am I talking about? Jacob. So let's go there. Well, when I looked up the scripture, I realized that it was talking about the scripture that had the word heel in it, but it was talking about supplanter and deceiver. And I started asking the Lord about that, and pretty much what you see in that whole story of Jacob and Esau was Jacob, even from the womb, was trying to take his brother's position. He wanted his brother's inheritance. He wanted his brother's authority. Even as a twin in the womb, there was already planted within him by the enemy a desire to get what wasn't rightfully his. And so it can almost be considered a generational curse. And then when you kind of see what the mom did, you can kind of see what side of the family it came from. Amen. But, and I know there's different ways to look at these stories, and he was the hungry one and went after God. But let's just look at the straight idea that we want to be free from being the person who's trying to supplant or to take somebody else's authority and to deceive someone else, and instead walk in our own. Walk in our own authority. Walk in what God has given us. Yeah, Genesis 25:26. And Isaac prayed to Jehovah for his wife, for she was barren. And Jehovah was entreated for him, and his wife Rebekah conceived. I want to just throw this out there. A lot of times when someone is having a hard time conceiving, they don't realize the power of their husband's prayers. They don't realize the power of a husband to get in the face of God and say, Lord, I want children. I want my wife to conceive. And God heard the prayers of Isaac, and Rebekah conceived, and the sons struggled together within her. So there was a struggle going on from their conception. And she said, if this is right, why am I this way? And she went to ask the Lord. And Jehovah said to her, two nations are in your... Now, how isn't this cool? Rebecca, now get this, just in this little tiny itsy-bitsy little picture here, you actually see where God listened to the prayer of Isaac for Rebecca. And so your first thought might be, well, wonder why Rebecca doesn't have her own walk with the Lord. But then you go down a little bit, and she, now look at the sensitivity that she had even pregnant before she ever saw an ultrasound picture. Amen? There was no ultrasounds back then. Amen? But she knew there's something going on in here that's beyond normal pregnancy, even though she'd never been normal before. She probably talked to friends and all. And so what did she do? She went to ask the Lord. Can we all get that? In any of our situations, no matter how spiritual your spouse is, or someone else, your pastor, someone else in your life, they always know when something's going on, go and talk to the Lord. And she asked him, she just thought, this isn't right. Something's not right. And so before she had a diagnosis, before anybody said what was going on, she felt uneasy and she went and talked to the Lord. What a great way to recognize we need to talk to God. Amen. We need to talk to God. We need to hear God. And Jehovah said to her, so he's talking back. Amen. Can we all get this about prayer? He talks back. So have ears to hear. You know, Lord, I want to hear you. I believe I'm going to hear you. And then he talks in all different kinds of ways. He's so awesome. I don't want to say what good is it to have God living inside of you and you don't talk to him. And thank God we get to go to heaven if you don't fall away. Amen. But can we get the unbelievable revelation of the privilege that we have to talk to God and to talk to him about anything and things we're just concerned about? She didn't run to the priest first. She didn't even run to Isaac first. She ran and talked to God. And the Lord said to her, he gave her a powerful word. Two nations are in your womb. Even two people shall break forth from your body. And one people shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. She had a prophecy from God about her twin boys. You know what? How many are ready for us to become more spiritual as spirit-filled believers? Amen. How many of us are ready to hear what God has to say and pray into what he says and ponder what he says? And her days were fulfilled to bear, and behold, twins were in her womb. The first came out, all of him red like a hairy robe, called his name Esau. And afterwards his brother came out, and his hand was holding to the heel of Esau. And his name was Jacob. Isaac was a son of 60 years when she bore him. And the boys grew up, and Esau became a man knowing hunting, a man of the field. And Jacob was a simple man living in tents. And Isaac loved Esau, for game was in his mouth, and Rebekah loved Jacob. So we see dysfunction. We're not going to get into all this, but there is some dysfunction here. Amen. You have Isaac, the father favors his rough and tough hunting son, Esau. And if you were born in my family, you could really understand that. And I don't want to shoot deer to make my dad like me more. Amen. My dad loves me, but boy, hunting season came. And boy, when you were a boy, you get to get out of school, some go on the weekends and go do that guy thing. But Jacob was a simple man, and he liked to live in tents. He liked camping. He was an outdoors type, but he wasn't going to shoot anything. And Isaac loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And we're not going to get into all this, but truthfully, don't choose favorites. Don't choose favorites and cause dysfunction. Get free from that. Don't get your identity in your children. Don't get your identity in a parent that you're more like. Instead, be excited about who you are. Be excited about who God is, and then be excited about who you are, and then you can be excited about who your siblings are. Anyway, Jacob boiled soup, and Esau came from the field, and he was tired. And Esau said to Jacob, please let me eat of the red soup, for I am very faint. On account of this, his name is called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me your birthright today. So he's kidding about a very powerful thing that Esau really had a right to, with his birthright as the firstborn male. And Jacob has food, and the brother says, give me something to eat. I'm really, really hungry. And Jacob played with a really powerful spiritual thing. Esau, who didn't take spiritual things seriously, obviously, didn't think it was a big deal to say, okay. But in the things of God, it was a really big deal. Amen? And he says, Esau says, behold, I'm going to die. What good is this? A birthright to me. So he wasn't starving to death. It's not like he hadn't eaten in years. But he had that overdramatic, okay, what difference is it? And this is, again, where you start seeing power of words and how this stuff is set up. Jacob says, swear to me today. And he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. So Jacob just began the prophecy that was already prophesied that he was going to get the birthright of his brother. Okay. Jacob gave bread and soup to Esau, and he ate and drank and rose up, and Esau despised the birthright. So I'm not going to get to this whole story, and Kim would be going to teach this one day about what the birthright is and all this kind of thing, or Greg. But I want you to see the part where God took me to the part about the heel and showed me. I looked it up in Amplified, and it called the name of Jacob was supplanter. So I looked up the word supplanter, and it means one who takes someone else's authority. And I started thinking, wow, that sure does sound like what's happening in our nation. And the Lord said, well, then get that out of your heart so you can pray for your nation. Get that out of your heart so you can pray for the president. See, I just want those who are watching on Facebook Live are going to see this, because most everybody here knows you have to get the thing out of your heart before you have the authority to pray it. Amen? The prayers of the righteous prevail. Those who are right where God wants them to be, right at that time in that moment that they're praying. Amen? And that's why the more we yield to Holy Spirit to be sanctified and holy, the more we seriously take the working of sanctification, not in a way that we do it, you know, with our natural things, but like, Lord, I want to be holy because you're holy. But then a benefit of being holy because he's holy is your prayers have power. Amen? Your prayers have power. How many would like for their prayers to have power? And God is in charge of who has the authority in every situation. And there's certain situations that are given to us almost as a birthright, as a born-again believer. A parent has authority in their child's life if they walk where the Lord shows them and teaches them. When they finally the child is grown, all of a sudden they have intercession power, but they don't have the same authority that they had when their child was young. Amen. Husband and wives are giving this powerful authority for each other. That's amazing. Like, he can be really off track and messed up, and God can give her the authority, has given her the authority to pray and really believe in the spiritual warfare, and vice versa. There's so much power when a husband and wife can come in together as touching anything, but there's also power of a divine protection because of God's way he sees a husband and wife as one. Powerful. So God pours out all these ways he gives authority. So we have the place where eventually Isaac wants to bless his son Esau, and his son, and he was tricked, and the mom got in on that, and the deception, all that happened, right? Okay, and then Esau was really, really upset. By now he had matured, he wanted his spiritual blessing, and he saw that he was deceived out of it, and there really became a lot of anger in him towards his brother, even to probably to a place where he would probably kill him, and Jacob had to run away, right? Jacob had to run away and hide from Esau. But I want to set up the understanding of the consequences that came to Esau because he played around with the spiritual stuff, and then he lost it through somebody coming in and deceiving him. Amen. Setups against him did not work for him to keep what God had promised him because he didn't sincerely go after the things of God. And then Jacob, who deceived him, and Jacob, who stole these things, even though he was influenced by his mother, who had the prophecy. But let me tell you don't have to make prophecy come to pass. God makes prophecy come to pass. You don't give in to the enemy to make a prophecy come to pass. God would have done this somehow without her interfering in a way to cause so much family mess. And then Jacob is the one who got married, and then his employer, who he wanted to marry the daughters of, right? Then deceives him. And on his honeymoon night, he finds out it's not the woman of his dreams, but it's his sister. Now, they had some strange customs back then that we don't have in America today, praise God. But although that was their custom, that's not the custom today. So here you have Jacob. Then what does he have to do? He has to work harder to get the woman that he loves, right? And he comes up with the ways of negotiating and believing God and doing some things that show you spiritual law about the cattle and stuff. We won't get into all that. All right. It's a really cool story though. A lot of spiritual law in the story about Jacob and how he produced more cattle that had the dot, whatever it was, the story, you know what I'm saying? But it had a lot of spiritual law in there. It's pretty cool. But the idea is he then had to go face his brother, and he was afraid to go face his brother. And who did he have an encounter with? The angel of the Lord, right? And he wrestled all night long and said, no, you have to bless me. You have to bless me. And he left with a limp, and his name was changed from deceiver to Israel, right? So in this story, you see the long trail he went through and all the stuff he went through because as a deceiver, he set up all this family dysfunction and he got it from his parents, amen? But then you see him, it comes back at him, right? He's reaping what he's sown. But by the time he struggles with God, he comes out of it with a new name. He comes out as a new man. Amen? And then when he meets his brother wasn't angry with him. And so the things he feared didn't happen. When we're going to pray in a few minutes for our president, and those who are watching, we're going to go off when we pray, but we ask you guys to pray at home. First thing we want to do is we want to get the deceiver or the supplanter out of our heart, which means, Lord, anything in me that could come from dysfunction in the family, right? Could just come from ambition in our culture, right? Could come from what people call okay, whatever, dog eat dog, whatever. Or you could think you have a greater reason to be able to go outside of God's ways of doing things. And God wants us to know he's not in deception. Amen. He's not in deception. He wasn't in deception here. He saw that it was coming. It was prophesied that this was going to actually cause even two nations to come, two nations that are going to war with each other. Wow. What a God. You know what? She could have cried out and said, no, we don't want two separate nations. Lord, show us what to do. Lord, you know, because that really prophecy of what's going to be in the future. The thing that put in my heart, I want you to get everything about supplanter out of your heart. Everything about deception out of your heart. We live in a culture, especially right now in the media, I mean, people are trying to take away the authority that the American people gave to Donald Trump to be president. Every way you turn, they're trying to take that authority with threats of impeachment, with a long trial where after over a year, nothing has really shown up that would be considered impeachable normally, waiting for the elections, right, to be able to try to change the House and the Senate to be able to get to be able to take the authority that God has given to this man, Donald Trump. And whether people like him or not, that's your business, but that he has turned our nation around financially, that economically our nation's turned around, that all of a sudden there's respect for the military again that's been lacking and it's being built up again, that there's respect on his part for first responders and police officers, that there's trying to be a respect restored to our nation, that like I was talking about earlier to everybody, he sat around a table and with pastors from inner cities just recently and listened to every single one of them and their input of how to help their communities and how to change the laws for those in prison to make a way where they things would help them not to have to return there and how to really get in there and change society to help those who've been beaten down by society. And every one of these ministers that I listened to all thanked him for actually listening. And one of them did a quote from Martin Luther King that said, Martin Luther King Jr., that said, if we're never invited to the table to negotiate, we'll never be able to change anything. And so many of those pastors sat there and said, thank you for being the first president in our lifetime to invite us to the table and to listen. And Trump really thanked them for honoring him by being there, and he would really listen. And of course, the enemy does not want anybody to see the heart in this person that God's given him. And none of us are perfect, amen? He's listening. He has, and God has used him. I really believe if people would open their ears and their eyes to see past the lies of the enemy and past the spirit of deception and supplanting, if they would see past that, they would actually recognize that now all minorities in our nation, whatever the nationality, are at their highest level of employment, and some of them in history, and others within 12 years or more, that our economy is on its way back up at a record speed, that as a businessman, this man has some brilliance. And as a negotiator, he has some brilliance. And behind everything that they think is stupid and they're talking down at and everything else, you kind of have to sit back and say, God, please give him wisdom. And God, please surround him with people with wisdom and let him have ears to hear. And you constantly don't know what's going on because there's so much wisdom going all around the place. Amen? And so my heart is, I want to see our nation not divided. I don't want to see our young people hating this nation and hating people in this nation. I don't want to see people feeling less than other people in this nation. And I definitely don't want to see the sexual perversion even now being propagated and talked about against children. That we're in a nation where child trafficking is real is unbelievable. Where did this come from? It's come from elitists closing their eyes for a very long time to the point where it's like a crisis. And the drug problems and all these things, it's like, and everybody's focusing on what the enemy wants them to focus on. No, we need to focus on what God wants to do. And what the Lord put on my heart, Cindy, this divisive spirit in your nation is in the church. And you need to start praying for a true unity to come in the body of Christ. And then you need to pray for a move of my spirit to really saturate the youth of this nation. Or this nation, when they're the ones doing all the voting, they're going to go towards the enemy's socialistic plan of Antichrist. But there needs to be real, people need to be able to eat and pay their bills and live a life that they feel good about. And they need to be free from addiction. They need to be free from these horrific things and the perversion everywhere. And there needs to be God, seriously, in charge of America. So you need to get a vision to pray this in. You need to get a vision to be part of an answer. You need to get a vision of how powerful God is to shake a nation, amen, to shake the church. We need to see the hand of God in our own lives. We need to see the anointings that we saw on the leaders such as Moses and Elijah. I've been reading some of Sadhu's thing, and I will just tell you, this stuff, his stuff is so deep, I'm not even recommending it, all right? But I will say this, it makes me, some of it I'm recommending, like the gifts of the Spirit one and self, being self-controlled. There's a lot of really not as meaty stuff. But you start getting into the Moses and Elijah generation that he talks about, and it just opens you up to a whole new realm of faith that you're like, oh my goodness, I never even thought about this. Oh my goodness, why haven't we believed that God's going to do something that's going to look like Elijah and Moses? Why haven't we believed in the greater works? Why haven't we believed that God is going to get his glory and that God would do powerful things in these last days to show the whole world who he is through his people so that the fear of the Lord could come that they might bow their knee to Jesus Christ? God has tried to win them with his goodness, amen? And if you really look right, and he won a lot with his goodness, amen? He's won most of us with his goodness, amen? But how many know there is a group of people now so hurt by the enemy and so led by the enemy that the goodness of God is not going to win them. But the fear of the Lord might. The fear of the Lord might. Amen? And so as I'm looking at all these, I'm like, oh my goodness, Lord, you are really raising up people who move in the kind of power in this last age, the taste of the age to come, that's going to shake things up mightily. And the Lord's like, yeah, and I'm trying to raise those people up who are hungry to quit just living in the get by and your little problems and your little past and your little, read something so much greater than your brain can comprehend of the things of God that you can quit focusing on just your little tiny world. That's what Friday nights are for. Friday nights is let's go high. Let's really go high in God and let's get vision that's amazing and let's get so wrapped up in how big our God is that our problems really seem as small as they really are compared to God. Amen? And then we will see the face of the Lord first and the problem is nothing behind him and under his feet and we'll recognize, yeah, this stuff is really happening, but God, show me what to do and we'll do it. Let's just get it over with. Let's just get healed. Let's just get delivered. Let's just get set free. Let's just heal the hurt places in us. Amen. Let's just walk into who we are. Let's just put away the junk from the enemy. And let's agree that we are not going to be deceivers and supplanters. And we're content with the authority that God has given us, where he's given us authority. We don't need to take it from anywhere else. And then, and as we pray that over our nation, and I believe in our nation, I believe in how it's set up. I believe in our the way it was originally set up. I believe in the electoral vote so that one highly populated state cannot decide the outcome for the entire nation just because their state thinks more radical than most of the other states. And I think that's awesome how our forefathers of this nation foresaw these things led by the Spirit of God. Amen? And I think the checks and balances of it all, if it's done properly, is awesome. And that God's going to go in and dig out the corruption and put things back in working order. And he's going to get rid of the corruption in the House and the Senate and on the Hill. Amen? So that they are representing us and not their paychecks and lobbyists. And we've got to lay down where, well, that will help me. Can I tell you where my help comes from? My help comes from the Lord. We've got to be, quit being so self-centered as, well, this little part's going to help me. This little part will help me. It might kill thousands and thousands and thousands of babies and keep our nation under a curse of serving Baal, but this little part helps me. You know, or this little part helps me, but I don't care about the people who are trying to figure out what to do, who were born in this country illegally, but this is all they know, and this is really their home, and this is where their friends are, and this is where their education is, and this is where all these things are going on. And what do we do with these people that are real people? But their plight doesn't bother me because I want to have this happen. And we've got to start being a people who say, I want these things taken care of by representatives that are supposed to represent me. But I want the big picture of God. I want the big picture of God. I want our government. We need to get to a place to recognize our government needs to work correctly. And whatever that takes for God to shake and clean up, it needs to work correctly in a nation as diverse as America. And so, Lord, you need to help us with this. You need to show us how to make this truly the republic that you called it to be. Show us what that is. Teach it. Let them quit changing the school books and teach our children what this is supposed to look like, because that's what this is. And if you don't want that, then you should go somewhere where they have the kind of government that you want. We want all corruption out. We want all corruption out. And we need to have a heart to say it matters. It matters if there are people who are sincerely afraid. It matters if there are people who truly cannot make ends meet based on where they're living. It's unfair. It matters. We need to be the people to say these things matter. So, Lord, show us how to pray in the government the way you originally set it up to be, and expose all the darkness. So what we've all done is we've come to a place of compromise to get what we want, instead of believing that God can get what he wants. Instead of believing that God could be big enough to shake this thing big enough that there sincerely will be divine protection for people, that there sincerely will be freedom for people. God is so big, he can move on our young people that they don't want to kill their babies. God is so big that he can move on the young people that they don't want to have sex before they're married, and then they want what God intends the family to look like. We've gotten so far away from understanding the bigness of our God that every one of us to some degree has compromised on what we think things can be like, instead of recognizing how big our God is and how he can shake everything that needs to be shaken, and he can touch everything that needs to be touched, and he can ordain everything he wants ordained. And we need to be the voice that God would have us to be for this nation. Amen. And we need to quit agreeing with the spirit of deception and supplanting to try to overthrow what we don't like, instead of using the way it's set up to change what we don't like. And we need to recognize when the enemy has snuck in and is trying to completely change the government to one that's extremely oppressive and antichrist, against Jesus Christ. Amen? As believers, our number one priority should be that as much as it's up to us through prayer, through actions of voting, through commitment, through what we do, that this will stay a nation under the one true God. Not just a generic God, but the one true God whose son is named Jesus Christ. Amen. These other nations who say allegiance to their false gods, they don't compromise that. So we, knowing our true God, we need to really see ourselves more as the Israelites saw themselves belonging to God. Amen. We need to see ourselves that way. We need to make sure our children know that we see ourselves that way. We need to let our grandchildren know this is how. We need to get rid of the concept that Christianity is a Sunday morning church thing if you can fit it in. We need to recognize that being a Christian is a life thing. And being in a nation that was founded as a Christian nation and even left a nation that wouldn't believe in a born-again experience in God, to have a nation that can serve God is extremely important. And we need to have a lifestyle of Christianity, which most of us do in this room, that reflect our relationship with God. Amen? And not apologize for it. Not apologize for it. Lord, we thank you that you're real. We thank you. We got to get rid of self-righteousness and all the other junk he's getting out of us. Amen? So we don't offend people with our mess. But then we don't go the other direction and just hide and pretend that what we know in Christ isn't real. And we recognize that this nation can only work correctly if it lines up with how it was set up. And truthfully, we need to pray and believe that God, for this season, has allowed this person that nobody was really for, especially in the church, to be president. Amen? And that he has picked his second constitutional lawyer to be on the Supreme Court, who very well may truly look at when life begins, which now even the medical society says is in the womb at conception, and they really look at how the world really is. They may really go back and look at how Planned Parenthood started, which was, without question, to stop the black people from populating the earth, to make sure they didn't overrun the white people. Let's keep them a very small, so they won't have any power. And you can say what you want. That's why it was started. That is the main and only reason it was started. And how deception and twisted is it when the enemy convinced a people group that something's for them, when it's out to kill them? Does that mean the other options are perfect? No. But let's at least look at the facts and really pray and really see where things are. And let's really pray like that. And we need to pray that this prince of the air, the spirit behind the media, which is a demon, a big demon, a prince, has got to lose his power to deceive and to supplant this president. Does everybody understand that when the prince of the air is behind almost all the media, you are hearing the devil's opinion about everything and his desire for this nation? And we need to say no. We need to just say no. It's not hard to understand that abortion is murder. It's not hard to understand that things have changed, that there are a lot of interracial babies and children and young people whose parents got past racism and did not look at skin color to try to separate them from people they fell in love with. And to be honest, there's too many, at least in our area, to pretend that we didn't bust that thing down. Our church, at least the last time I looked, I haven't looked, we have more interracial children than we have Caucasian children or black children, but more interracial. And when I say interracial, it may not necessarily be black and white, but it's black and white and black and Korean and Filipino and white. And I mean, praise God. Praise God. So church has to wake up and walk in true authority and love and deal with these heart issues. Amen? The church has to deal with her issues. And she has to line up with the love of God and the truth of God. And when God says not to mix the races in Old Covenant, he is talking about believers with unbelievers. He is not talking about black or white. And truthfully, we should still have a desire to be equally yoked so that we can raise up godly children and be strong and not go through all the issues you go through if you're not equally yoked, believer with believers. But how many know we need some believers to be believers? So we need to just really pray. And we need to get a vision of a move of the Holy Spirit that the prince of the air cannot stop. That the prince of the air will lose his power to divide this nation. That the prince of the air will lose his power to supplant this nation. I'm telling you, if the prince of the air wasn't behind so much of the coverage of this president, then everyone's eyes would open to all of the good that has been done in 1 year without question. Because they could find the facts. And we have to realize that we are being blinded by the prince of the air. The prince of the air is the spirit that is going to lead people unto the Antichrist government. It's always Antichrist. It's always against Jesus Christ. You do not have a single communist nation that is yay Jesus. You do not have a fascist nation that is praise God, thank you Jesus Christ. This is you do not have a nation that's about freedom of choice. Any nation that will not have freedom of choice is not about Christianity. Amen. Jesus Christ will never make you call him Lord until you meet him face to face and every single knee will bow. But on this side of the planet, you have a free choice and the entire world is set up in a way for you to have a life to find God. And the enemy hates that and everything he does is to stop that. And in the last days, he's going to be very successful at it, but we can choose to do the spiritual warfare. We can choose to get our hearts right so that the prince of the air will not supplant this president and make the way for our nation to go into a goat nation and oppression and bondage. Amen. And we got to start with our own hearts and praying and really trusting God. And we have to get compassion for each other. Amen. We have to have true compassion, compassion that leads people to Christ, compassion that shows people who they are in Christ Jesus, compassion that says that you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus, that nothing is impossible for you with Christ Jesus, that your identity, there should be no identity crisis. And let me say this, everybody is in an identity crisis. It's just gone to extremes until they find Jesus Christ. And when you find Jesus Christ, you no longer should have an identity crisis. You should only identify as a child of God. It should be your only identity. It should be your main identity. I am a child of God. I am born again of the Spirit of God. I am a Christian. I am in the kingdom of God. And there's no place in that for hatred. There's no place in that for racism. For real. There's no place in that for hating one gender over another gender. There's a place to recognize that God's made us different and he's made us wonderful for his glory and his purposes. And he tells you how. Women are the weaker vessel. It's true. I cannot carry the stuff that my husband can carry. And I don't have any intentions to try to. Amen? I mean, that's what he says the difference is. That and how he created us to nurture our children, how he created us to complement each other. He never says there's difference between different nationalities. He doesn't say. There's nowhere in there where he says, okay, people with dark color skin, you are made like this. And people with light skin, you are made like this. And he never says that. He does tell us that there's a difference between women and men. Amen? He doesn't say one is better than the other. He just tells us the difference. And truthfully, shouldn't be that hard to look at each other and kind of know the difference. Although the enemy's trying to make that pretty hard, isn't he? It's like, help, Jesus. Oh. Anyway, we're going to do this prayer. We're going to do it. Then we're going to go off of Facebook Live and the web. And then we're going to do some intercession. But I want you to really stop. And I want you to thank God for the true authority he's given you. Okay? If you are a husband, you have authority in your home. You have authority over you are the final say on decisions that affect your household. And you're going to be held accountable before God for them. And wives, you are a sphere of influence that can help him make wise decisions, but it's between him and God. And then don't curse him by saying, wait to see what this is going to be. You're cursing your own self when you do that, amen? You're cursing your situation, right? So that's authority, right? That's authority that God has given to men, to husbands. Not men, to husbands. Amen? Amen? Parents, you have authority over your children who still live in your home. Amen? You have authority over what is watched on television in your home, what is looked at on the computers in your home. You have authority over what words are spoken in your home. You have authority over what activities with friends of your children happens in your home. You have that authority. Amen? Principals, you have authority that your school system allows. Teachers, you have authority, or you should have the authority in that room for godly discipline. Police officers have a certain authority. Amen? And the President of the United States of America has authority in this nation in certain decisions and way he does it. And the House and the Senate have certain areas of authority. Amen? And there is a line of authority. In a church, I, as the overseer, Beauty Frashes, have the authority. I stand before the Lord about everybody's mess. Amen? I have to give an account for every single soul that God chooses to bring here. And if he brings them here and they don't stay here, I still have to give an account because they're supposed to be here. And that's an authority he gives. That's an authority he gives. Amen? He gives the authority. So you have to stop and look at your job and say, what's my authority? Now, let me get this. Everybody who comes to Beauty Frashes, you have a sphere of influence, okay? We don't want to hear what you have to say. We do want to hear what you have to say. If you're on staff or if you're on the board, you have a higher level of sphere of influence. You do. I want to know why you think that. And I know your heart. If you're on staff or if you're one of the ministry leaders, you have a higher sphere of influence. Why? Because you're there because you care. You're there because you feel led to be there and you have a certain level of care for what God is doing here that somebody who just walks in the door may not have. Amen? Amen? So you have a sphere of influence. You should have that and you should take it seriously. If you have any kind of position, if you are on the board, if you have any place, if you're a leader of any group, even over the children's nursery, you have a sphere of influence and you need to get before the Lord and find out what that is. You don't need to supplant somebody else's authority. You influence and then you leave it alone. Most wives, if you have a happy marriage, have learned that. Amen? If you have to learn that you have to submit to authority, amen, then you learn that. You can pray, God changes mind, as long as it's not witchcraft, or God can change your mind. Amen? Do you see what I'm saying? God will hold you accountable and the enemy has access into your life. Ooh, let me say this. For those people in politics who are trying to supplant the president and they think they're getting by with it, they do not realize how much access they have given the enemy into their lives, into their families, into their careers, into everything. See, God's ways of doing things are for divine protection for all of us, for the whole community, even the unbelievers. And so we have to recognize, I don't want some terrible, crazy thing to happen because I decided that I'm going to manipulate and control my husband's decisions. Amen. Now, guys, I'm going to get in like, oh, I could call all the shots now. You can, but as they say, happy wife, happy life. Now, does the Bible say that? Actually, the Bible kind of does say that, but it talks about if the woman's not, the man doesn't have to go hide in the attic. But anyhow, the man cave, the man cave over the garage. The thing is, God, the reason for all of it is because God is the really final authority. God's the real final authority, and he knows how to work in every situation. He knows how to work in this president's heart if we'll pray for this president. Amen. He knows how to work in the governor's heart, in this House and the Senate heart. He knows how to work in the policeman's heart. He knows how to work. Amen. He knows how to work in the heart of your spouse. He knows how to work in the heart of you. Amen. In the heart of your children. God says he has the king's heart in his own hand. Amen. So what God is really saying with this is, trust me in this. Don't do what Jacob did and what Jacob went through. Don't have a dysfunctional family like Jacob's family was, because God already said it was going to happen. Now just trust him and do what he shows you to do. Amen. It doesn't mean close your eyes and pretend everything's going to be okay, because it won't if you do that. It means, Lord, show me what to do. Show me what to post. Show me what to speak. Show me when to vote. Show me how to vote. Show me what to do. Show me how to have an impact. Show me how, as American citizens, and this is for our nation, not all nations, as American citizens, no matter what gender or color or race or how much money you make, every person has the sphere of influence when they vote. And I know with corruption, sometimes people with more money and different things, you know, can try to twist things. But let me tell you, with a big, big God, like we saw in this last election, he can do things that amaze everybody. Amen. Just totally shocked everybody. Go God. Amen. He knows how to bust the spirit, the prince of the air. He knows how to bust the prince of the air. He gets somebody who does not speak the prince of the air language, and he has them say whatever he lets them say to bust it. Because the prince of the air wants us to be very careful hiding our racism by what we say and pointing at us and trying to determine what does it look like? How does it look? What does it look like? How does it look? What does it look like to be a feminist? What does it look? And God is like, it's in your heart, people. It's in your heart. By the fruit, they'll know. And you're not going to bow to the spirit that tries to make you what it wants you to do and say that's far from your heart. And look what's in your heart and deal what's in your heart. And churches should help people deal what's in their hearts. Amen. I mean, Holy Spirit, he knows if there's something yucky. How many know there's stuff yucky in there? Amen. And how many knows he knows how to get it out? How many knows a church needs to open up and say, okay, Holy Spirit, sanctifier, the one who the Bible talks about, his fire, send the fire, send the fire. Do you know what that means? It means he's going to come and burn every single thing that is not supposed to be there. He calls himself the refiner's fire, right? Do you know what that means? It's hot. How many knows trials are hot? How many have been through some refiner's fire and you come out, if you keep your eyes on Jesus, more like him? But when you're going in there, you didn't even know you had a problem. And so as you look at everybody else, you're still not getting it in the fire. Hell. And so we want to pray. We also want to pray that people who've had their authority taken from them by the enemy would get healed from that and find their voice. Amen. We'll get healed from that and trust again that God will give them the authority they're supposed to really walk in. Amen. That God will be Lord, that the Lord can make a way where there seems to be no way. And that God would help us to know how to pray for our loved ones, how to take authority over the enemy. Amen. How many know that if God gives you compassion for someone, you can really pray. You can pray. God can give you authority over every work of the enemy. God can give you authority and intercession over complete strangers. God can give you dreams and show you how to pray. And as we've been talking about his gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, especially the gift of word of knowledge and word of wisdom, are two powerful gifts that flow through intercession and then prophecy many times. But the gift of the word of knowledge is the Lord showing you behind the scenes things, and it comes out. It's really real. It comes out. It shows up. You're like, oh my goodness, you're not just suspicious. This stuff is really showing up. But God gives you that word of knowledge of what's going on that you couldn't know about or what's happened in the past so that you can pray in his healing, so you can pray in his will, so you can pray in his breakthrough. Amen. He gives you the word of wisdom, which is direct. How do I do this? What do I do to help this situation? How do I pray, Lord? What do I do? What's happening in the spirit? How do I pray this? How do I pray this for my grandchild? How do I pray this for my child? How do I pray this for my parent? How do I pray this for a friend? What do I do? We need to go to God and ask for his wisdom. Amen. Yeah. And a word of wisdom is when he speaks it through someone else. Amen. A word of wisdom is when God is speaking somebody's preaching or teaching or something's happening, all of a sudden it hits you. And I'll end this session. Get ready to go Facebook in a second. We're going to pray. But let me tell you, this is so cool. You know, with Beauty for Ashes, it's just such a different place. It really is. And we've had, you know, Lord, what are we doing? We've had it where it's almost full, then we've had it where it's been not full at all, and then we've had this, and we just keep going, right? We just keep preaching and teaching and going. And I found this prophecy. We're going to pray it. We're going to play it on video on Sunday morning, but I just wanted to share. You may want to come Sunday morning, but when Glenn Garland was here, this is kind of funny. I ran across this when I went back and started doing some more this study I'm doing on how to get God's word out to the nations. And I'm looking at some things he's connected me to with Christian marketing. And it's okay if you're doing it for money, but I'm doing it to have the spirit of influence I'm supposed to have on leaders in the nations. And so I started this last July, and I hadn't even really gotten into it yet. I hadn't even done my first Facebook Live or anything like that. Well, Glenn Garland came. I just saw this because it was right in the notes I was starting to write for this stuff I'm doing. And I hadn't done it for a few months. I mean, I've been doing what I learned, what God had put on my heart to do. And God is so cool because I've been asking, Lord, I hope I'm where you want me to be. I hope I'm doing what you want, Lord. Show me that this is really you. Show me that I'm not missing it. Lord, just show me. And so I read this prophecy, and we're going to show it on Sunday. But the prophecy said, God is going to give you a creative vehicle this year, some very creative vehicles to reach the nations. And this year, you're going to begin to expand your territory, and you're going to reach more leaders and more people in third world nations, especially for his purposes and his glory. And God's going to connect you to apostolic people that you're going to train up through different vehicles, creative vehicles that he's going to bring into your path this year and expand your borders. Okay, when he said that, we didn't even have a Facebook page. I personally had a couple hundred followers. Since then, not even connecting it to the prophecy till I read it, we did a Facebook page and live videos. We seriously have 30,000 people being reached a week. And a majority of that is in third world nations. I had a pastor ask me from Pakistan, and I'm so thankful because I didn't know where he was from. And I said, well, do you want me to come? And he said, no, it'd be too dangerous. He said, we want you to do a Bible study for our women Skype. Well, I'm excited because God kept telling me Pakistan. I'm like, I don't want to go. And then he gave me a way to do it without going. Woohoo! So I don't know anything about Skype. So somebody's got to teach me how to do this. Anyhow, so we're going to try to set that up here and find out what time. And maybe everybody come together and we'll do it. Whoever wants to come and do a class to these Indian women. I'm sure it's because they don't think women should teach men, but that's okay. We'll teach the women and then they'll go home and tell their husbands some really good teaching, you know. But anyway, and I look at all the different pastors, and we're just about to put out, we just bought the website today. It's called, we're putting the page together. It's called downloadfromheaven.org, and it's going to be downloads where people can go on our online store just for downloads. Download the book, download some of the teaching, and we're also just started today, Jordan put together, which for Jordan to do this, you already know it's a miracle that it got done before I even asked. I mean, I love Jordan, but wow. And he's put together a partners page that we have to have a name for. And we're going to have all the teaching there and be able to disciple and minister. We'll have a small fee for people in the U.S. and nations where you can pay. But for those in third world nations, they'll get a special code and they'll get to get all the teaching for free. Isn't that cool? So as we're doing all this, we actually reach more people right now with the teaching. Now, the building's not even as full as it used to be, but But part of that is testing you to see if you will let God be in charge, to see if you'll do His sphere of influence, to see if you're going to do it His way. When you're reaching 30,000 people and 6,000 responding every single week, and you don't have to build a big church, and you don't have to have the overhead, and you don't have to have the administrative things that I don't have, you know. And, you know, Lord, how are we going to do this impact that you want? I'm just saying God has ways you don't know of, but here He gave us a prophecy right ahead of it happening. So how many know we got to have Glenn Garland back sometime soon, as soon as, so I'm like, come back. We want to speak in. And He's also the one who called this, the name of this school, that this really wasn't a normal church, but it was a school where, that Paul had, where he taught deeper truths outside of the mainstream church because the people couldn't handle it all there. And I believe that. And then I'm talking to the Lord last night, and I'm like, Lord, show me what's going on. Show me what's going on. And how many absolutely love Holy Spirit? I mean, really love Holy Spirit. And so I'm like, show me what's going on, Lord. And I'm reading all these books from the Sadhu guy. I think I'm going on book eight for this in the last couple months. I'm getting ready to read book eight. And some of them I'm like, oh Lord, I got to stop and pray. But I didn't read a whole chapter even. I just read until I feel the anointing lift, and then I just think about it and pray and go to sleep or read the Bible or whatever. And so it was so cool. So I was asking the Lord, I said, Lord, just show me, you know, that what we're doing is what you want, and give me vision for it. That's your vision, not, you know, a typical somebody else's vision for church. And it's so cool because I go back and I read about the Lord raising up an apostolic people who are going to have the kind of power and the kind of anointings on them that Elijah and Moses had. And that God is going to have an end time people who will seriously stop storms. And He starts listing these things. I'm thinking, Lord, I've tasted of almost all of these to some degree. To some degree, I've tasted just a little bit in my life experience in the Lord. And the Lord says, yeah, I put that in you. It's in there. You've seen it a little bit. Now get ready to have people walk in it. Get ready to see it explode. Get ready to believe it and experience what I have for you and those who are going to go in a much higher realm than we've ever thought possible. And then you stop and your brain starts opening up, and the Lord opens it up to go, oh my gosh, why would we think that Elijah would have more than we're going to have in the end days? Do you know what this wild stuff Elijah did? But it includes apostolic releasing plagues, getting people to fear your God in the correct way, amen, getting people to quit mocking your powerful God, getting people to see how big He is. When you go and you look at God the Father revealing God the Father, amen, when He wasn't called Father, He was called God, amen, Jehovah, and you go and look at what He revealed to those who weren't His own, and how he shook and punt and so much disciplined those who were His, amen. When you see that and you realize that's the same God we serve, and He is going to call a people to make a decision for Him before it's too late, and that He's going to pour out His wrath on those who did not make that decision. And I still think even in that time, there will be some that'll be saved. Amen. But how many would like to be able to be those powerful people who do the things that you see in the Bible, Old Covenant and New Covenant, and be translated and all these different things? I'm thinking, oh my gosh, how did I get so small in my vision? How did I get so small in my faith? How did I get so small in my thinking, even for the end times? And I love it when God stirs you up to a new level of faith, because you're about to start a brand new powerful journey, ho, into what He has. And not everybody wants to go on that journey. Some people want to stay focused on their little stuff. Amen. And not everybody wants to walk out in that kind of, and like He says in His books, you've got to be holy to walk in this. The devil is going to eat your lunch if you aren't. Amen. You've got to care about what God cares about, and you've got to not care about what man thinks. And so I'm thinking, wow, Lord, because He talks about people, God's called certain people, and it's in their hearts to raise up people for this end time Elijah and Moses company who's going to be like not seen before. And, you know, I'm like, wow. I said, Lord, this just so excites my spirit. I keep saying, but when are you going to send some people? Send more people. And then I'm thinking, well, if we're touching, who knows if those 6,000 people throughout the nations aren't those people. So however He wants to do it, you know, and whatever part He wants. And I just think, you guys, even if it's part to be able to preach this so they can see this and God can stir this, because some people are going to be like, this is way, that you think we've been deep before? Get ready. How many are really ready? I mean, to really at least get past your waist. where it's at least hard to walk, amen? Hard to walk in your own way and do your own thing, amen? And so let's just do this prayer to get the supplanter out of our hearts. And it's partly control, it's partly trying selfish ambition, it's partly trying to prove something, it's partly what the enemy has just done to make us afraid to distrust God, whatever it is. And I think we've done this before, these teachings, so a lot of us have it out of our hearts. But before we pray, wouldn't it be nice to know that we have clean hands and pure hearts in this area? Amen? Whew, fill the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we just recognize you. Holy Spirit, we recognize your attributes. We recognize that you are the Spirit of might, that you are the Spirit of knowledge, knowledge and might, fear of the Lord, wisdom, understanding, Spirit of the Lord. Holy Spirit, we recognize that you are the one who is the gift from our Father. You are the one that Jesus says, it's better that I go, that I can send the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you with open arms into every one of our lives. Oh, into this room, into this ministry, into this vision, and everything you want, Holy Spirit. If you really want Holy Spirit, I want you to stand up. If you really, really are getting this, if you really like, Holy Spirit, I want you to take over in my life. I want you to take over in my family. I want you to take over in this church. I want you to take over in my business. Holy Spirit, I want you. I want you to open my eyes. I want you, your Spirit of might and power, to be seen. I want your wisdom. I want understanding. I want your knowledge. I want your fear of the Lord. I want the reverence, my God. I want the very Spirit of the Lord to be present. Holy Spirit, I want the gifts of your Spirit operating through me. So, Father, I open up. I open up. I open up my spirit, man. I open up and I say, Holy Spirit, you're so welcome. Thank you. Thank you for prophecy that's going to come through my lips. I want you all to say amen or say it. Come in agreement. Thank you. And it's like through your lips. Thank you for the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom that's going to come through my lips, that I can be your voice. Thank you that I can be your voice. Thank you for the gift of faith, the gift of healings, the working of miracles. Thank you, Lord, that I can be your hands. Thank you for the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues, that we can preach to the nations, that we can speak it like the angels and get mysteries. And thank you for prophecy. Put your hands up and just ask him to fill you up with himself. Fill us up, Lord. Fill us up. Fill those who are watching up. Fill those who are watching in the nations up. Fill us up, Holy Spirit. Fill us up, Holy Spirit. Fill us up and let those gifts flow out of us. Let them flow out of us everywhere we go. Let them flow out of us Sunday in this house. Let them flow out in our churches. Let them, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, anoint us, Lord. Let us be hungry to spend time with you. Let us be hungry to wait on you. Let us be hungry to sit in your presence, that every one of these gifts would be just saturated with your oil. Anointed. Anointed by you, Holy Spirit, that these gifts would be anointed by you. We just thank you, Jesus. We give you praise, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. And we just give you praise in Jesus' name.
Now, if you love this teaching, then you better say you love this teaching. Then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.